Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 22 as we continue our series on the names of Jehovah. Last week, we covered Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, and God surely is our banner. His banner over us is love, and that he fights our battles as Moses lifted up his hands and Joshua and the men defeated the enemy, defeated the Amalekites in that battle because the Lord is our banner. This morning we continue with Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But before we do that, I'd like to just go through again, like I did last week, some of the other names that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And this story takes place when the waters of Marah were bitter and God told Moses to put a tree in it and they were made sweet. Aren't you glad that Jesus was nailed to a tree and our bitter water became sweet? The Lord that heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, was when Gideon saw the angel and he freaked out. Sometimes we can have a terrifying experience and we can freak out. But the Lord said to Gideon, peace unto you. He imparted peace to Gideon. And when God imparts peace, you have peace. And he called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. The next one is Jehovah Ra'ah, R-A-A-H, from the very familiar passage of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The last two, Jehovah Sitkanu and Jehovah Shammah, we will probably do in one message. Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness, and Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, both relate to when the Lord comes back and sets up his throne. And so, there we have it. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 22, we begin reading at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Very familiar passage, the passage of when God says that he is going to, the New King James translates tempt more accurately into test. We know that God doesn't tempt man, neither is he tempted of any man, but he does test us. He tested Job, he's testing Abraham. You really don't know what you know until you've been tested on it. You may think you know it. And I'm sure you've heard me tell the story of when I was taking mainframe assembler in college. They would lecture, and I would think I had it down, and then he would give us a pop quiz. And I would learn that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. Very cryptic language. You can't get much lower short of writing in ones and zeros with assembler. And sometimes the tests are not just for the test. To the test giver's benefit, they're for our benefit, that we realize that maybe we didn't know it as well as we did. So at any rate, God is testing Abraham to see if he truly loves God more than his son. You know, one of the problems with the church and being blessed is sometimes the blessing overtakes the blesser. And you get your eyes on the blessing instead of the God that blessed you. And that's really what happened with the modern church. God began to, you know, wasn't that long ago till there were church services with sawdust and folding chairs. Talking about the old tent revivals. And there might have been one big old metal fan back in a corner and those dangly lights, you know, with the optic bear hanging there, and And people came to church not to be comfortable, but to hear from God. And now, you know, you get a fight over the thermostat or something. Too hot, too cold, whatever. Can't please everybody. The point is, Abraham was blessed. He was blessed because God promised him a son, and God gave him a son. But you can never love the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And so he's testing his love for him more than the blessing Isaac. Now, this is the very first verse in the Bible that the word love appears. I think that's very interesting. That it appears in Genesis 22, verse 2. And he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. When we think of love, we think of John 3:16. For God so loved, he gave. And that's what this chapter is all about. It's about loving God more and giving. It's about the substitute. It's about all of those things that encompass John 3:16. The word love appears 14 times in Genesis. Just to kind of give you some background, in 44:20, it's about Israel's love for Benjamin. In 37:3-4, it's about Israel's love for Joseph. In chapter 34, verse 3, it's about Shechem loving Dinah. Remember that story. 29:30, Leah desiring love from Jacob. Not having it, desiring it. Chapter 29, verses 18, 20, and 30, Jacob's love for Rachel. You really knew that Jacob loved Rachel there. 27, verses 4, 9, and 14 is Isaac's love for savory meat. And 25, 28, Isaac's love for Esau. 24, 67, Isaac's love for Rebekah. And then our text here in 22, verse 2. Now, we're studying Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Not studying love, we're studying the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. A few verses in the New Testament relating to God's ability to provide, Philippians 4:19, most of us can quote it, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so we can call him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will supply my needs. The Lord will provide my needs. In Matthew 6:31-32, Jesus said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You know, oftentimes, when I pray, I'll say, you know, Lord, I know you already know this, but, you know, God knows everything about you intimately. He knows every need. Maybe you have trouble with that. Maybe you think, well, there's people in third world countries that are drinking polluted water. There's wars going on. How could God care about my hangnail need or whatever? And you try to think in the way of a man, and it seems impossible that this super being called God can care about my intimate needs in a world of chaos and confusion. When I think this way, I remind myself as a computer programmer how fast a processor can process information. When I was building my man cave with all the technical wizardry, I would store a file on another computer, and it would have a file that would just have the value of 1 or 0 in there. And over here, I could hit a button on this one, and it would write it through the network cable to the other one and change that 0 to a 1. And then the computer that is writing is constantly every half second pulling that value. And when it changes from a 0 to 1, it makes some light flash red on and off or something. And so computers can, through a network, analyze values across hundreds of computers in a fraction of a second. It's really pretty amazing. And so when I see the wisdom or the intellect of how man can develop a network of computers that can read values in a fraction of a second, it's really not that hard for me to fathom God being able to know my needs over his network of spiritual connections with billions of people on the planet. That's good news. He's not too busy. He can handle it. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," say that with me, "how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you when you ask?" He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And the last verse, Ephesians 2:8-10, most of us know this. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For where is workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them?" This morning, as we look at Genesis 22, we're reminded of God's ability to save. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he provides a way of escape from the flames of hell, from the judgment of God. We're all under the judgment of God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but by grace we're saved through faith. He is Jehovah Jireh. Now, there's our introduction. Let's delve back into chapter 22, shall we, picking up in verse 3. "So God has told Abraham to take his son, his only son whom he loves, and go to this mountain and offer him on this mountain. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose, and he went to the place which God had told him." Now, I love looking at this verse because it shows the methodical obedience of Abraham. The first time I ever heard that word methodical, I was in the military. And when you brought the flag down at the end of the day, it's called retreat, and you didn't just like yank it down off the pole. You brought it down methodically with taps that were being played, right? The end of the day, methodically. And so there was this pattern to it. Here we see the methodic obedience of Abraham. And you can notice it by the number of times the word "and" is in this verse. He rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God told him. I think sometimes, at least myself, I'm not telling you how you act, but I'm not always as methodically obedient to God as Abraham was. He was a great man of faith. He didn't ponder it. He didn't debate it. He didn't question it. He methodically obeyed God. Help us, Lord, to be like Abraham. Verse 4 tells us that it was a 3-day journey because it says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off." It took him 3 days to get there. As I said, this is a beautiful pattern of John 3:16 because in Abraham's heart, he was going to offer his son. He was going to obey God's voice. And he was confident because Isaac was the child of promise, and that through Isaac, God had said all the nations of the world will be blessed, and God doesn't lie. Then the only conclusion he has is that he's dead in my heart right now, but in 3 days, God will raise him up. A three-day journey. So we see there the resurrection on the third day. And Abraham said to the young man, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Notice he said, "We will come back to you." Again, Abraham is confident that God will raise him up. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Good question. "Dad, didn't you forget something?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering." The New King James, I skipped it, says provide for himself, but I love the way King James says it, more accurately translated, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what God did 2,000 years ago. He wrapped himself in human flesh, and he himself, God, became the Lamb of God. And so the two of them went together. And then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him at the altar on the wood. When it says he built an altar, it was probably rocks, stacked some rocks on each side, laid the wood across it for Isaac to lay on it, and then maybe some wood underneath it. He tied his son Isaac. Isaac is old enough to carry the wood because he's the one that he gave it to, so he's probably a young man now, probably a good amount of wood. So he's certainly old enough to say, "Hey, Dad, wait a minute, stop, pull back, hold on, pull the ropes off of his hands, not let Dad tie him up." But here we see the obedience of the son. When you read the Gospels, you realize that Jesus, more than once pointed out how he doesn't do what he wants to do. He does the will of the Father. And so again, we see a beautiful type of Christ in Isaac, that he is obedient to his Father. His Father ties him up. He doesn't resist. He trusts his Father. His Father trusts God. There's that beautiful chain of command. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." Anytime God repeats himself, it's not just because he needs to. God does not have to repeat himself. It is there for an emphasis on the urgency of it. God said to Moses, "Moses, Moses." Jesus said, "Verily, verily." Here the angel is saying, "Abraham, Abraham." Hold it right there. Don't do it. He said, "Here I am. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do any harm to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now you might say, "Well, what about Esau? This is not his only son. He has a son named Ishmael. And of course, that's the son of the handmaiden. This is the only son by his wife." And God says, "You passed the test. You passed the test. You were obedient." And so Abraham lifts his eyes and looks, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went, and he took the ram, and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Now God has called us to a test. It's a test of faith, like Abraham. It's a test of trust. And he's called us to believe on his promises. To believe John 3:16. John 3:16 and Genesis 22:8 kind of go together. My son, God will provide himself as an offering. Genesis 22:8. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. In fact, I would like us to say John 3:16 together, but I would like you, when it comes to for God so loved, put your name there. For God so loved Roger that he gave his only begotten son, that, and then put, insert, if I believe in him, that I would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody got it? Okay. So let's say it together. For God so loved Roger that he gave his only begotten son, that if I believe in him, I would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news, isn't it? And so the test that we have, and it is a test. It's a test as hard as Abraham's, because you're going to have in your life some challenges that may not make sense. You're going to have loved ones pass away that you prayed for. You're going to have jobs that you lose. You're going to have financial crisis. You're going to have family that hurts you, that you prayed for. You're going to shed some tears, and you're going to say, God, where are you? The devil's going to say, he's not there. He doesn't care. You're going to have some times where your faith is tested, just like Abraham. And you square your shoulders, and you say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I believe the word of God. I believe John 3:16. I believe the Lord heals. I believe he's my provider. I believe he's still on the throne. I believe. Now, the other aspect of this story is that you and I are Isaac. See, Isaac is duality. He's a type of Christ, but also he is a type of you and I. Because of our sin, we deserve that cross. We're the ones that should have been offered up and paid the price for our sins. But just as Abraham found a ram caught in the thicket to take the place of Isaac, Jesus is the Lamb of God that took our place on the cross. And so the greatest aspect of Jehovah Jireh becomes how God supplied our need, because we can't save ourselves. Amen. If it was dependent upon me to save myself, it doesn't matter how good I am. I can help 1,000 little old ladies across the street. I can give all my money. I can do all of these things, and it will not bring me one step closer to heaven because of God's holy standard. For the substitute had to be a blemishless, perfect lamb. And Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when you say Jehovah Jireh, and often you think of you know, helping me pay my bills or helping me do this. Really, the essence of Jehovah Jireh is that ram caught in the thicket, that Jesus taking our place on the cross, because that is the greatest provision that God could ever give. If God couldn't provide for my salvation, who cares if he can pay my electric bill? It might make me get through this month, but what about next month? What about when I'm breathing my last breath? What about when the death rattle is in my throat and the icy fingers of the grim reaper are coming to take me away? What am I going to do then? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to whisper that name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord has provided a substitute for me, and I can face death confidently because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So what is your need this morning? Obviously, we are all saved, I believe, and so we rest in the knowledge that the Lord has provided Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But beyond that, we all have needs, and he is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. It is his nature, and it is his promise to provide. That statement from Genesis 22:8, I said that kind of goes with John 3:16. Kind of like we did in Sunday school, just taking that little snippet of that verse where he says, my son, God will provide. Isn't that interesting that we could just say the Lord is speaking to you this morning, whatever you're facing, and he's saying, my son, my daughter, God will provide. Whatever your need is, whatever you're facing, hear the words of the Lord. My son, my daughter, God will provide. God will provide. As you face the challenges this week, remind yourself of Genesis 22:8. My daughter, my son, God will provide. Oftentimes we get alarmed by things that we face. People don't help. They tend to make things worse sometimes. And we whisper Genesis 22:8. My son, my daughter, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. Come on up, Nola. Praise the Lord. God will provide. Hallelujah. I remember years ago studying the Old Testament, and it never really occurred to me that Olivet in the New Testament was the Mount of Olives, or vice versa. And I went to Brother Moon, and I said, Olivet and the Mount of Olives is the same. And he said, yeah, it is. I said, well, Jesus is coming back to the same mountain that he ascended from. Brother Moon said, yeah, I think he'll probably stand on the same spot that he left from when he puts his foot down. I said, wow, that's cool. It's interesting how God uses those patterns. He did the same thing with this mountain, because the same mountain that Abraham offered his son is Golgotha, the same mountain. 1,500 years later, that God would offer his son. It's so amazing how the Lord writes the New Testament from the Old Testament. And the Bible scoffers, you try to show them this stuff, and, you know, they wouldn't believe Moses and the prophets. They're not going to believe even if one rose from the dead. But we believe. We see the fingerprint of God in the life of Abraham. We see the fingerprint of God in our life. As he says again, my son, my daughter, God will provide. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're so thankful that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And as we face the challenges of life, Lord, in the weeks to come, help us to remember that your name is more than just a name. It is a description of your nature. It is your nature to provide for your children. You reminded us, Lord, that if we can give goodly gifts as fathers, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to us? It is your nature to give a good gift. It is your nature to bless. It is your nature to provide for our needs. And so we rest in the knowledge that the God we serve is not only our banner, not only our peace, not only our shepherd. He is our provider. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ms. Nola. What is that? All right.
I forgot all about it, and I didn't remember to ask you again.
It's all right.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Amen. Thank you, Nola. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give someone a hug and a hand clap. In Jesus' name, amen.